Hello, everybody. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J right here on radio.dominican.edu. On today's show, we are going to be discussing various topics. And for today's music, I am going to be playing some music from Europe. And if we have the time, maybe even some music from the 90s rock band Firehouse. Anyway, to get things started off, I thought I would talk a little bit about the band Europe. They are from Stockholm, Sweden. They formed in 1979, and they started out with Joey Tempest, the lead vocalist, acoustic and rhythm guitars, and on keyboards. John Norum was also in there. He was also lead and rhythm guitars and backing vocals. Let's see. John Levin, who is currently in the band, joined in 1981 on bass and stayed until the band went on hiatus in 1992. Came back in 1999 and then came back in 2003 and is still the bass player today. Mick Michielli, if I said that correctly, he's also a keyboardist, a backing vocalist, and a rhythm guitarist. And Ian Hoglund, remember they're from Sweden, so they have names like Hoglund and stuff. He was the drummer, the percussionist, and also a backing vocalist from 1984 to 1992. Then came back in 1999 again, and then returned once again in 2003 and is still the drummer and percussionist. Those are the current members: Joey Tempest, John Norum, John Levin, Mick Michielli, and Ian Hoglund. So for our first song, I am going to be playing one of their hit singles of all time. It came out in 1986. It's The Final Countdown off of their 1986 album of the same name, The Final Countdown. It is personally one of my most favorite songs, and it can be heard in a lot of media. It can be heard in, let's see, if any of you people have ever watched the TV show Everybody Hates Chris. It was used in one episode where Chris was trying to get into the same high school that his best friend Greg was trying to get into when they were studying to take the test for, it had to do with, like, I don't know, financial aid or something like that, whether he qualified or not for his grades. It was used for a video game commercial for the Mario and Sonic Winter Olympics video game. How I know all this, I really don't know. But soon I am going to be playing music from Europe. So just sit back and enjoy the music right here on radio.dominican.edu. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J. I will be playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. That's one full hour of really good rock music. Okay, here we go. We are gonna play The Final Countdown. Dun 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 da 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 da. Here we go. that was The Final Countdown by Europe. God, Joey Tempest, he is such an amazing singer. All right, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the band's history. Like I said before, they originated in Stockholm, Sweden, and here is the origins of what I believe is one of the best foreign rock bands of all time. The genres that they do are hard rock, heavy metal, and glam metal. Those are three of my most favorite genres of music. Anyway, their early days, from 1979 to 1985. The first incarnation of the band was actually named Force, and they came together in 1979 in Upplands Väsby, which is located in the capital city of Stockholm. And they were integrated by vocalist and keyboardist Joey Tempest, guitarist John Norum, bassist Peter Olsson, and drummer Tony Reno. Quote, "I remember when we started the band Force, we were playing covers in the rehearsal room because we just wanted to learn our instruments, like all bands," unquote, Tempest said. "Then one day I said, maybe we should do our own stuff. Nobody had any ideas, so I brought mine into the rehearsal room, and that is when we started writing our own stuff." So, the band was starting to take off. The band sent several demos to various record companies, but they were told that in order to be published, they had to cut their hair and sing in Swedish. Say what? Come on, man, get real. Let them be themselves. Anyway, 2 years later, Olsson left the band and was replaced by John Levin. Just a couple of months later, Levin joined Yngwie Malmsteen's band Rising Force, if I said that name correctly, and Malmsteen's former bassist, Marcel Jacob, I guess he's French, joined Force. This only lasted for 3 months, though, and Levin apparently had issues with Malmsteen, so he and Jacob traded places again. In the year 1982, Joey Tempest's girlfriend entered Force in the Swedish rock talent contest Rock SM. Competing against 4,000 bands, they won the contest. They actually won the contest out of 4,000 bands. Can you believe that? Do you realize how slim your chances are of winning against that many bands? That's 4,000. The number 4 followed by 3 zeros. Anyway, they won the contest thanks to two songs, In the Future to Come and The King Will Return. The reward was a record deal with Hot Records. Tempest won the individual award for Best Lead Singer, and Norum won the award for Best Guitarist. During the contest, Force changed their name to Europe. The self-titled debut album was released the following year and sold both well in Sweden and Japan. Strangely enough, I don't think it sold very well in the British Isles or in the United States. The album charted at number 8 in the band's home country, Sweden, and the single, Seven Doors Hotel, became a top 10 hit in Japan. Their second album, which was released in 1984, by the way, they didn't release anything in 1985, or even 1980 anyway. The second album, Wings of Tomorrow, was released 1 year later. And the single Open Your Heart got interest from CBS Records, who offered them an international contract in 1985. Quote, "I think one of the most important albums for the band was Wings of Tomorrow," Tempest said. "We were learning how to write songs, and John started playing some really cool stuff on the guitar. We became a better band, and that was a good period for the band," unquote. Keyboardist Mick Michaeli was soon recruited to play in live concerts and became an official member of the band shortly after. At the same time, Tony Reno was fired because of his lack of motivation and alleged slacking off on rehearsals. His replacement was Ian Hoglund. In 1985, Europe recorded the soundtrack for the film On the Loose, which gave them the hit Rock the Night, which I will be playing for you next. Several months later, Joey Tempest was asked to write a song for the charity product Swedish Metal Aid. He wrote Give a Helping Hand, which would feature the biggest stars of Swedish rock and metal. The income from the sales of the single, which was produced by Easy Action guitarist Key Marcello, was donated to the starving people of Ethiopia. At the time, during the 1980s, Ethiopia, which is a country in Eastern Africa, their people were starving, they were miserable. In fact, if I'm not correct, they are still starving and miserable. So my shout out to all the people in Ethiopia, and not just Ethiopia, but all of the people in Africa as well. I mean, it is the most impoverished country, continent. That's what I meant to say. Continent, if I'm not correct, in the entire world. The most impoverished. And it's basically been that way, I believe, since the beginning of time. I just don't think that's right. I mean, it's about time that Africa got some happiness, personally. By the way, Rock the Night was also featured on their most successful album, The Final Countdown, of which I just played the song of the same name from said album, The Final Countdown. Their worldwide success mainly lasted from 1985 to 1992. In September of 1985, Europe started the recording of its next album with Kevin Elson, who was also a producer for the band that you may all know of, Journey, known for many of their hits, which of course include Don't Stop Believin'. The result was the album The Final Countdown, which was released on May 26th, 1986. The album gave the band its international breakthrough, and it was certified triple platinum in the United States, and it even reached number 8 on the Billboard 200 chart. The title track, which I just played, which was based on a keyboard riff composed by Tempest as early as 1981 to 1982, was released as the first single and became a worldwide success, peaking at number 1 in 25 countries, such as the UK, France, and Germany, and I believe in their home country of Sweden as well. The power ballad, which I will also be playing later this evening, Carrie, peaked at number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Cherokee and a re-recorded Rock the Night, which is also a song I will be playing for you this evening, were other hits from the album. However, not satisfied with the album's keyboard-dominated production, nor the band's commercialized image, John Norum decided to leave Europe in the November of 1986 to pursue a solo career. Quote, "I didn't really like the direction the band was going in," unquote, Norum said. "We became this teeny bopper bubblegum band, and I hated that whole image. The spandex, poodle rock type of thing. I was more into the heavier guitar-oriented stuff, and it seemed like the keyboards were taking over more and more, and we were becoming more commercial. So I decided to leave. I just wanted to move on and do something else. Unfortunately, let me just tell you guys something. Commercial most usually means success. And, well, money." All right. Key Marcello was asked to replace him, and after some consideration, he decided to join the band. Marcello joined the band, and at its commercial peak, no less than 3 singles from The Final Countdown reaching the U.S. Top 40, the following year included successful tours through Europe and the USA. If I'd actually lived during the 80s, I would have loved to have gone to see one of those tours. But I'm living in the present right now, so much for that. All right, I am going to continue again in a little bit, but right now, here is Rock the Night, which was also featured in the movie with Andy Samberg, Hot Rod. Other 8 singles, including Rock the Night, and I believe The Final Countdown, were also featured in the film Hot Rod. And let me just tell you, that movie is hilarious. It features SNL's Andy Samberg, and it's all about him being a stuntman. And before I play Rock the Night, I just wanted to give you an interesting fact about the song The Final Countdown. A lot of people actually believe that it was featured in the film Rocky IV. That's the movie where Sly Stallone had to fight the big Russian guy played by another Swedish man, Dolph Lundgren. But That movie, which is one of my favorite movies of all time, was released in 1985. The album, The Final Countdown, as well as the single, came out a year later in 1986. I believe a lot of people believe that because a lot of keyboards and certain guitar riffs were used in the movie. And the movie's music was composed by Vince DiCola, and it was the only movie in the Rocky series not to have its music made by Bill Conti. So, without further ado, here is Rock the Night by Europe, right here on Funk It Up with Dr. J, here on radio.dominican.edu, playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. All right, here we go. Let's do this.
We'll be right back.
And that was Rock the Night by Europe. Well, we are almost halfway through the program for this evening. So during this time, I would like to bring up a news story for all of you listeners out there. Just going to take a little break from the rock and roll. I know you guys want more, but don't worry. We'll be back soon with some more of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And we'll definitely have some more Europe for you on the way. Next, we'll be playing the power ballad Carrie, which was featured on their other album, which was also featured on the album The Final Countdown. It is a great power ballad, and if it wasn't The Final Countdown being their greatest hit, I think Carrie was definitely their greatest hit. For most glam metal bands or hair metal bands during the 80s, a power ballad was most of the time, if not always, their biggest hit. But you really couldn't blame them because they're good songs. What can I say? Oh, and just another thing to bring up. It's just something random, but who here agrees that the age to do stuff like drinking and whatnot should be 20 and not 21? I do. I mean, why wait an extra year once you hit the second decade mark in your life? I mean, seriously. I mean, come on. It's just some food for thought. I mean, what, 20's not enough? You got to add another year, 21? Something that kind of grinds my gears, you know? Well, if you ever see me on campus, just let me know and what you think about it, and maybe we can discuss it a little further. Okay, anyway, on to the news. We got a breaking news story here from CNN. For all of you guys who like Apple products, like me, such as the iPod or even the iPhone, something that I wish I had, or if you have a Mac laptop or a Mac computer, anything like that, I've actually got some bad news. Apple co-founder Steve Jobs, he has recently died. He is mostly known for co-founding Apple in a Silicon Valley garage, and he led a mobile computing revolution with widely popular devices such as the iPhone. Like I said, which is something that I wish I had. He died today at the age of 56. He had been battling cancer for quite some time. It's really too bad. Here, let me get the full story. All right, here we go. That's really sad. I mean, he was a true visionary. I mean, he was a hard-driving executive producer who pioneered the concept of the personal computer and of navigating them by clicking on-screen images with a mouse, which, might I add, is very convenient. And in more recent years, he introduced the iPod portable music player, the iPhone, which is something I really wish I had, but don't, and the iPad tablet, all of which changed how we consume content in the digital age. His friends and Apple fans on Wednesday night mourned the passing of a tech titan. Quote, "Steve's brilliance, passion, and energy were the source of countless innovations that enriched and improved all of our lives," Apple said in a statement. Quote, "The world is immeasurably better because of Steve," unquote. Let me just tell you something. If I had AT&T, I have Verizon, I definitely would have an iPhone. In fact, I wanted the new iPhone 4 back last year in 2010 as a graduation present from high school. But since I have Verizon, I don't have said iPhone 4. Instead, since I have Verizon, I have a Motorola Droid. It's a good thing. It's a good smartphone. Don't get me wrong. I really like it. But it's not an iPhone. Well, on a lighter note, I'm going to continue with some more about the band Europe. Continuing on, the follow-up, to The Final Countdown was entitled Out of This World and was released in 1988. The biggest hit from the album was Superstitious, which peaked at number 31 on the Billboard Hot 100 and number 9 on the mainstream rock tracks. Superstitious would be the last Europe song to chart in the United States. which is really unfortunate because I honestly think that they are an excellent band, and I can't stop saying that. The album was certified platinum in the United States and peaked at number 19 on the Billboard 200 chart. More touring followed, including an American tour with Def Leppard, one of my most favorite bands, and they are personally my most favorite rock band from the United Kingdom. And not only did they have an American tour with Def Leppard, but they also had a festival gig at the National Bowl in Milton Keynes, England, with Bon Jovi, Skid Row, and Vixen, which are also three really awesome bands. Love those guys. And during some of my radio shows, I'll try and get some music on by them, because they absolutely rock my socks. In September of 1989, Europe did a gig at the Whiskey A Go Go Club in West Hollywood, California, under the pseudonym Les Baron Boys. Pseudonym, it's where you take a different name, whether you want to hide from the public or something like that, or if you're incognito. But that was their pseudonym, Les Baron Boys. Just a little note about the Whiskey A Go Go Club. It's where a lot of people in the Los Angeles area, such as Hollywood, got their start. It's where Motley Crue definitely got their start there. I believe it's where they were discovered. If I ever form a band, which I would love to do, I wouldn't mind starting there. Or at the Viper Room in Las Vegas, which is unfortunately the place where River Phoenix DO'd. Shout out to him. He was really awesome in Stand By Me and in Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. Anyway, the pseudonym Les Baron Boys, that name would later be used as a title for a much circulated Europe bootleg, which contained demo recordings from 1989 to 1990. 2 years later, the album Prisoners in Paradise was released, but received limited media attention due to the boom of the grunge movement, started by bands such as Nirvana, Soundgarden, and Pearl Jam, which are also good bands. Just a shout out to Kurt Cobain, who was the former lead singer of Nirvana. He also OD'd, I believe, in the Viper Room in Las Vegas, which is really sad because he was a really innovative artist. Although the sales of Prisoners in Paradise were low compared to previous albums, the single I'll Cry For You managed to hit number 28 on the UK charts. On New Year's Eve in 1991, Europe kicked off a new tour with the show at the Tokyo Dome, in which Tesla, really good band, love those guys, them and Skid Row and all those others, Tesla, Thunder and Metallica are also really good bands, also performed. The show was called Final Countdown 91, and I honestly would have killed to take Doc Brown's DeLorean back in time to that event and to just see it, because that would be awesome. That is, if Doc Brown and Marty McFly, just a Back to the Future reference, would let me borrow the DeLorean, because, well, it is I believe it's my moral obligation to not F with the space-time continuum. If you've seen the Back to the Future trilogy, you know what can happen. Biff Tannen might end up marrying your mom. Anyway, after 10 years of living, recording, and touring together, Europe decided it was time to take a break at the end of the 1992 tour. I remember in the tour bus afterwards, we were talking about where the whole thing was going, and I think at the time, the consensus of the band was we really felt ready for a break, unquote, Tempest said. We felt that it was time to put some roots down, and I was really into the idea of making my own solo album. In that time, Tempest and Marcello released the solo albums, whilst the other members participated in several different projects and bands. Next up, I will be playing the power ballad, Carry, which is a great song. Really love it. And it is right here next on radio.dominican.edu. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Here's Carry by Europe off their 1986 album, The Final Countdown. Here we go. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the music. Thank you. and that was Carrie by Europe. Let me just tell you, that is honestly one of the best songs that they've ever written. Love those guys. All right. I'm going to talk a little bit about their reunion. The band members started to discuss the possibility of a Europe reunion in 1998. Mick and Ian came over to see me in Ireland, Tempest said. I guess he was staying in Ireland at the time. Then, whilst we were there, John Norum called from LA and we were like, yes, maybe now is the right time to get things started again. For the Millennium celebrations, Europe was asked to do a concert in Stockholm on New Year's Eve in 1999. That would be Europe's fifth concert with two lead guitars since both John Norum and Key Marcello had accepted to play. They played Rock the Night and The Final Countdown. God, I would have loved to have been there at the time to listen to them. Either there or just watch the ball drop in New York City. That's always fun to do. Anyway, over the years, there were several reunion rumors, and on October 2nd, 2003, it was made official. Europe announced plans for a new album and world tour. The band then switched back to the Final Countdown lineup with John Norum as the only lead guitarist. There was no doubt that we wanted John back, and John wanted to get back, Tempest said. For me, it was important to get that spark going again that we had before. Key Marcello claimed that he was too busy with his own projects. I told him I didn't want to participate in a new studio album because musically, I want to go in a different kind of direction than the music Europe stands for, Marcello said. Then we talked for a while about doing a six-piece tour. It didn't turn out that way because of different reasons. The songwriting for a new album, Start for the Dark, began early in 2003. It was just a matter of moving forward and writing songs for the new album, Tempest said. That was always our intention. We thought that if we were going to make a comeback, we wanted to do it properly, and that meant we wanted to write and record some new songs, a new album. For the recording of Start from the Dark, the band decided to work with producer Kevin Ellison, who had also produced The Final Countdown. We could either go with a younger producer or we could go with someone that we knew, someone experienced who was on the same wavelength as the band, Tempest said. So in the end, we decided that Kevin would be the perfect choice. In the summer of 2004, Europe went on a festival tour through the European continent. The concert set list included the old hits, but also introduced the title track from Start from the Dark. The album was released on September 22nd, 2004, the same day that John Norum became a father. Well, would you think about that? That's awesome. Shout out to John Norum's son, then. Or daughter. Whichever he had. Start from the Dark featured a more modern sound compared to Europe's previous albums. We wanted to be doing something at least that was a little bit relevant now. Bit of a dry mix, detuned a bit, Tempest said. So we felt like we didn't want to do an 80s album per se. We just wanted to start like a fresh band, really. Eventually, the album sold in excess of 600,000 copies worldwide. But since this is a station that has to do with the 70s, 80s, and 90s, I'm going to be playing another one of their songs from the 80s and from the album, The Final Countdown. Here you go. We have Heart of Stone. It wasn't a single, but I think it is a really good song. And here we go. Here it is. Heart of Stone by Europe. Right here on radio.dominican.edu. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Okay, here we go. Heart of Stone by Europe.
You once and I've told you.
was Heart of Stone by Europe. All right. We only have about 10 minutes before I hand the mic over for The Blackout featuring J-Lit and Special K. But before that happens, I'm just going to finish up my show. Some sad news for the band Europe. On July 21st, 2009, remember the band used to be called Force, but the bassist and former member of Force, Marcel Jacob, committed suicide. He was 45 years old. I don't know why he did it, but the weird thing about people who are suicidally depressed, a strange thing is, a lot of them, they seem to be the happiest of people. I know it sounds strange, but it's true. But listen, I don't believe it should be illegal to commit suicide, because I believe you should be in control of your own self, not the government. You. But there are other ways to solve your problems. I mean, you all have so much to live for out there. All right, to finish off the show a little bit, I'm just going to read some last information for you. Europe's eighth studio album, Last Look at Eden, was released on September 9th, 2009. The title track was released as a single in June. The band has described it as a modern retro rock album. Quote, "This time, we're taking some new directions with our songs and we're exploring different styles," unquote, they stated. There's a definite classic rock vibe on some of the tracks. A tip of the hat to groovin', funkin' 70s rock songs, but ones that we have bought into the here and now. The second single, New Levittown, was released as a digital download on September 3rd, 2009. In an interview with, if I'm saying this correctly, Abhijit Ahluwalia for Epsi Rock on November 30th, 2009, Joey Tempest outlined the future of Europe, announcing the follow-up to Last Look at Eden will come in 2011. But strangely enough, not 2010. "We're going to keep working at this rate we're working at, which is pretty good. We'll probably come out with an album in 2011. Hey, which, that's this year, so kudos, my friends. And tour in 2012 again. We're looking at 2 to 3 years ahead of the all the time, and the next 5 years I see Europe with 2 more albums, 2 more world tours, and hopefully having established ourselves even better in a lot of territories around the world." I wonder if they'll come out with anything in 2015. On July 12th, 2011, Europe confirmed that Kevin Shirley will produce their 9th studio album. The recording sessions are scheduled to start on October 3rd, and the tentative release date is April 2012. On August 6th, 2011, Europe headlined the closing ceremonies of the 22nd World Scout Jamboree in Rinkaby, Sweden, before an audience of 40,061 scouts and guides, which included King Carl XVI Gustaf of Sweden and Queen Sylvia of Sweden. All right, we're just about out of time. I'm going to switch it over to the station's music. This is actually something that I find kind of odd. I play music for you guys, but at the same time, there's also music that's playing all the time right here on the station. Isn't that interesting? I think it is, personally. Well, anyway, hopefully for next week's show, I am going to be playing a 90s rock group known as Firehouse. I really like those guys, and I hope you like them too. So, that's the end of my show. This was Funk It Up, once again, with Dr. J playing some of your favorite hits from the rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, right here on radio.dominican.edu. I'll see you all next week. Peace out, and rock on.